I thank the Lord for this Memorial Day. It's a time to reflect on what many people have did for us, that we might have this great freedom that we enjoy today. There's many blessings that we're enjoying today that we probably don't really appreciate to the fullest. People that's given the full measure of their devotion. I'm very grateful this morning for a godly mother. One thing that I very appreciative, someone that was concerned about the needs of her family and prayed for us children, and I'm so thankful to have had a godly mother that did so much for me. I'd like to, as I was walking down the hall, let me just start there. I looked at all the pictures in the hallway, not all of them, but I just glanced at different places that the saints have been over the years, and the thought came to me, I've got many more places to get pictures from I want my people to be at. The challenge is, if we take all those down, where are we going to be at the end of this year? How many places are we going to cover this year? And this is the starting of our camp meeting season, and Guthrie meetings right around the first here to get started. And I look at all the young people and see all your potential for the Lord that you have. And I want to encourage you to, it's not that you get your picture taken, but it's that you be in a place that God can use you. You be in a place that the Lord can use you. And there's many times you'll never get your picture on the bulletin board. But God knows where you're at. And He knows those little places that you've been. And that's what's most important. We want to be in a place that God can say, there's my child. And I want you there. Let's endeavor to be there. When I think of the great heritage that we have this morning, the many people that have died, that we know of, that have been faithful to the Lord, it really challenges my heart today to see and to know just a few of those that have been faithful, that had the fire of the Lord burning in their heart, and that gave their last devotion to the Lord and measured out and poured out everything. Just like that woman that she came and she had that little box of ointment and she broke that open and she just poured that out on the Lord. She poured it out on the Lord and gave everything, and those odors just filled the whole room. Everyone in there could smell that beautiful perfume, and costly as it was. You know the story, the people, some of them said, why is the purpose of this waste? We could have took it and we could have sold that and give the money to the poor. And Jesus said, let her alone. She's done that unto the day of my burial, and there'll be a remembrance wrote about her. And I wonder this morning, if the Lord doesn't have some new faces and new places and new things for us to do for Him, and if He is not working to cause us to be in uncomfortable places because He's wanting us to move out and do something more for Him, do just a little more for the Lord. In the book of John, the 21st chapter, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt about his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And went on down here, the 10th verse, Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And the 12th verse says, Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. It's time to eat. The question that I would kind of like to share with you this morning is, Children, have you any meat? Have we been productive in our life for the Lord? Are we being productive? Are we doing what we can for the Lord? I've been talking to different young people, and how you doing, boys? Oh, we've been working hard. I said, you really have? Can I see your hand? And when I see a real smooth hand with no calluses on it or no rough skin, I said, well, what kind of work have you been doing? It's certainly you're not doing much physical work, or your hands would be rough. And those boys will laugh a little bit at me. But you know, you can tell when somebody's been doing something because they got a rough hand. And I believe the Lord wants to challenge us today. We're going to have to get our hands dirty to plant seeds. We're going to have to be people that have a heart to do the work of the Lord. And I want God to help me. My desire is to be what He would have me to be. And I don't want to be caught with empty-handed. You know, when we say, I've been around this movement, I've been around this body for 30 years. Well, that's good. You've hung around that long. But you know what? What really matters is do we have children? Do we have anything to show for our labors? Are we being productive? Do we have something? And you might say, well, that's kind of carnal, isn't it, to want to see something? That's not my point, that we're keeping score of all the things we've done. The main thing is, do we have any meat to show for what we've done? I'm not concerned about comparing people and all that. The main thing is, are we doing something for the Lord? Are we involved? Do we have something going on? Do we have a heart into anything? Do we have our heart into something? If you throw your heart into it, do you know there's going to be results? There's going to be things happen. My wife and I have been praying. We've been going through some dry places. I'm just going to tell you, there's just been some dry places that we hit. And it, even trying to work some and try to pastor a church, they're still just dry places. I'm just telling you, that's what happened to us. Just dry places. You get into dry places. It's not a sin to be in a dry place. But how many of us want to stay there? Dry places they're hard. The dry places make me uncomfortable. Dry places and things where I don't feel productive, it makes me uncomfortable. And it should make us all uncomfortable. Every one of us should be uncomfortable this morning. If we're going through a dry place, that's not a time to go to sleep. A dry place is a time we need to start wondering, Lord, what am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? And Lord, help me to get out and break this dryness. And there's a reason you're making me uncomfortable. And help me to get out and do something. And that's where the Lord has begun to open something new to me. And I, this morning, I love the Lord because He's heard my voice. And I think He's wanting to bless all of us. And could someone find that scripture for me? It came to my mind. He wants to have something about rich unto good works. Could someone find that and just read that? I believe the Lord wants His people to be rich in good works. I remember the vision, the story about Sister Faith Stewart and her vision as she was leaving India. And it looked like her work and everything she had done over there was just falling apart, and things weren't looked like it come to an end. But she didn't give up there. She got a vision, and what she saw, you remember her vision if you read the book Living Faith? She got the little vision of these little hands and these little faces, these little brown faces and little hands reaching out to her. As she walked down by the ocean, she saw these little hands and little faces. And the Lord was calling her to go to Cuba. And she went to Cuba, and the Lord prospered her there. I'm wondering today, in our discomforts that we're feeling, in some of our places that we're not really bringing fruit, is the Lord saying to us, I've got something for you to do now. I want you to be faithful to do it. There's people that I want you to meet. There are places that I want you to go. And this is what's going to be your life. This is what is going to be your exit out of these dry places you're going through. Folks, discouragement will kill us. Discouragement is killing us. People are getting discouraged. And I think part of it, part of the discouragement, is where we're needing to get a vision of what God wants us to do in 2006. God wants to use every one of our lives in some way or another. With your neighbor. I remember, I tell you, my heart's been touched by Robbie dying. We were pastoring there in Springfield when they were going to church, and they lived there for several years. Got to know them very well, and my heart's heavy for his passing, for his family and all. I remember one thing Sister Noreen told us one time. She said when she would hang out her clothes, she would whistle as she hung her clothes out on the line. Now you might think, well, that's kind of silly. But I want to tell you, just her whistling, as she hung out those clothes on the line, she had no idea that this neighbor lady was listening to her whistle. Now, I'm teaching my little girl to whistle, and she's doing pretty good. And I'd like to teach us all. I would like the Lord to help us to have something to see, even hanging out clothes, you can work for the Lord. And I tore down our clothesline about a month ago. We don't even have one right now. But you can take the dreariest of jobs and you can put just a little bit of heart in it, and you can have people just wondering, where are you getting the excitement to hang these old wet clothes out on the line? People just, what's going on here with this lady? And when they moved, this lady came and told her, said, you know, I appreciate the times I heard you whistling when you was hanging out your clothes. I appreciate. And I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss that whistle. Isn't it something, just small things like that, how the Lord can work through small things? And when you're excited about something, or when you really put something in it, people are affected by it. I believe the Lord wants to help us today. Did someone find that scripture?
If they do good.
That's it.
If they be rich with good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate.
Where's that, Brother Stan?
1 Timothy
1 Timothy 6:18. I like that part, rich in good works. And I'm not here. We're not trying to compete. There's no competition. That's not my desire, but I would to God that He would help us all and kind of rekindle a little spark in us. If you can whistle, you can work for the Lord. You might say, I'm just so handicapped. I can't do much. I'm so limited. Yes, you are. And the quicker you realize that, the more God's able to use you. When you have this puffed up attitude about you, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and you think you can conquer the world, and you have all this self of blowing all over, I tell you, you'll have your bubble pop quick. You will. But it's when we recognize that I can't do anything, and Lord, I'm just desperate for you. At that little graduation speech we had the other night, you all don't know, but I suffered before that. Someone said, well, you've done those before. And I said, it doesn't matter. My knees still shake, and I don't know. I can't make it. I just can't do it. Without the Lord, I can't make it. I'm nothing. We've got to have the Lord. But oh, when He comes into our life and when He begins to inspire us and speak to us. And I've got to read this 90th Psalm to you. I'm just going to tell you, my wife and I, we started praying, Lord, please make something happen. I began to pray this way. 90 and 15, and it says, 90 and 16. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. To me, this is what we need to be thinking about. I want my children to be able to see something, to be able to get a hold of something. And I want to be able to see it also. I'm wondering if we oughtn't ask the Lord to forgive us sometimes because we have been so selfish. We've been so selfish. We just think about ourselves and we think about the truth. We think about the truth. Oh, I've got to preserve this and preserve that. And that we get our minds thinking in that channel. And our children just somehow silently, quietly walk away. And they go here and they go there. And we've concentrated so much on the truth that we forgot that we're trying to pass something down. That it's more than just me. It's more than James. It's more my wife. There's something our children have to get a hold of. And somehow we fail to see that. Amen. And we focus so much on me and my responsibility to God. And we just get thinking, it's just me and Him. And He's saying, you've got a family. You've got responsibility. And whatever you do, I want you to do it heartily as unto the Lord. I want you to involve them. I want you to do things for them. And folks, we have been splintered. We have some things that if we just look at ourselves in the mirror sometimes, God is saying, is it you or not? Is it you or not? Truthfully, we have to say, yes, Lord, that's me. And we begin to see, this is a big thing. This is a big work. And if we will ask the Lord, He said, the psalmist said here, let thy work appear unto thy servants. I'm convinced without this revelation, we won't do anything. And what we need to do is to be earnest. Lord, would you let your work appear to us? Would you let me see like Faith Stewart saw those little hands and those little faces? Would you let me, Lord, see just a portion of what you want me to be doing? And how I can serve in your kingdom. We sung that song. It was so beautiful this morning. I love to serve my Jesus. I love to serve Him. I'm going to tell you this morning, Jesus comes clad in different forms. In different ways. One place He said, I was sick. And you didn't come and see me. You didn't come and see me when I was sick. Oh, Lord, would you make your work or let your work appear to us? Unless we have a desire, it's all closed off. and we focus in on just ourself. But what the Lord wants, I can hardly describe to you. When we ask the Lord for Him to let things appear to us, what begins to happen? You know what happens? Troubles start coming your way. You know what people are in today? Is trouble. People are in trouble. And the first thing He's going to do, you're going to have to get acquainted with trouble. Because that's happening. That's going to come right our way. Now, if we don't have peace within ourselves, when trouble comes, we're going to be troubled. But what the Lord has been inspiring me in my mind is, first of all, to bring peace to a troubled world, you have to be at peace yourself. If someone comes to me and in my heart it's all out of sorts and I have unrest and I have anger built up in my life and I have unforgiveness and I have jealousy and I have envy and I have all these things boiling in me, and someone comes now and they're needing help, for me to try to help them, it's impossible because I'm unstable. I'm unstable. And when I touch them, they become unstable. Reminds me of Brother Austis one time trying to hold a ladder for this. You might be here and you might be the one he held that ladder for, but this brother was way up and on a ladder, and Brother Austis had shaken, you know, and he came out there and he was holding that ladder, and oh my, when that traveled up about 24 feet, that one said, "Brother Austis, I believe we're all right," you know, and you just let go of that thing. But he was trying to steady that, but he was unstable. It's the same way for us when we're out of sorts and when we're not really stable ourselves. Let me help you here, brother. And they're going, let me alone, get off of that thing. You're going to knock me off of here. We can't bring peace to a troubled world when we ourselves are out of sorts and out of balance. We can't help people. We first of all have to have peace in our life. Oh, I know a lot of people like to give counsel. They like to tell people how to do things. But they themselves have imbalances in their life. They have troubles here that they haven't taken and resolved. And there's unresolved conflicts in their own life. And here we're trying to settle the world's problem. We can't do it. I say the starting place begins at home. It takes me. The Lord's got to bring the hammer down on me first. He's going to have to help me to fall on this stone and be broken. There's a lot of unbroken people. And unbroken people can't solve the world's problems. And if we're full of conflicts ourselves and unresolved things and issues and back things that just hadn't been taken care of, folks, we're not any help. Let's admit it. We're not any help. What we need to do is say, "Lord, now I'm shaken. I'm troubled. I have problems. There's some things that I never have understood that You let happen in my life. You took a loved one away from me. And Lord, that hurt me so deeply. It's caused me to doubt You. It's caused me to doubt Your love. It's caused me to question why. Why would You do the thing? And Lord, there's been things that You've let happen. You've let abuse come in my life. You've let me have a father that was very abusive and very angry. And Lord, it's turned out to make me angry. And my dad had all these unresolved things. And Lord, it's passed down to me. And it's just carrying right on. And I feel this same resentment toward him that he felt toward his dad. And he might have felt toward his... And these things just cause me trouble. How can we help people that are in trouble and distress?" The other day, there was a young boy that came, was having service in jail, and this one boy came, and he said, "Can you help me be saved?" And I said, "I sure can. I can help you, but, you know, it's going to be the Lord that really helps you. I can lead you up to Him. It's going to be the Lord that helps you, but I can help you pray. And you can get saved." And that young boy prayed there, and I tell you, it wasn't very long. He said, "Amen." And I thought, well, thank You, Lord. That's wonderful. This whole day, it's been profitable. It's been profitable. And I'm not keeping a record. I'm not keeping scores. I tell them in the jail. I'm not here to make converts. I'm here to try to disciple you. We want to make disciples. Keeping track of converts is a proudful thing. You know, I've had so many get saved under my ministry. And I've been very profitable, and I've traveled all over the world, and oh my, puffed up, may God help us today. It's not that we want a name for ourselves, it's we want to keep busy for the Lord, and we want Him to get the glory, and Him to be recognized. Let the beauty of the Lord our God, this verse is just so full to me. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. I believe the Lord wants to make us profitable. Do you believe that? Don't you like a profit? One of the things, my wife comes back to me when she's gone shopping. She said, "Honey, guess how much I gave for that?" And this is a never-ending deal. Guess how much I gave for it. So I always try to shoot a high figure. $50. She'll grin. Nope. You got that cheaper than $50? Yeah. And I'll guess $45. Nope. I finally say, "Well, hon, I don't know." She said, "I got it for $5. Maybe. I'm just kind of throwing those figures. She'll get something that was way high, and it makes you feel good. It's a profit. I mean, you feel like I got it, and I've been profitable today. I wonder if the Lord doesn't want us to feel profitable. Profitable. How is He going to reward us? I believe if He will give us souls for our hire, I believe if He'll help us, even if I never see the results, if He'll just simply help me and bring me into a place where I know that God has led me to, and there's people here in trouble, and I can help them. That's profitable. Oh, I loved it. The Lord's work is a beautiful thing, and I pray the Lord will open up to every one of us. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. This is not what I'm talking about. The Lord knows we need some. The Lord knows there's a real need for them. But you can be someone that is an encourager. I have seen young people that just encouraged. They were so full of the Lord. They encouraged. I looked at these young men last night. They picked up those sweepers and they started cleaning this place. They were busy as can be and sweating. It was hard work. I want to tell you, keep that up. Keep that up. There's a lot of things that you can do for the Lord and feel rewarding. I believe God wants us to be profitable. And the good thing is it's not too late. It's not too late. You might think, "I'm getting old." In the book of Ecclesiastes, 11th chapter says this, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that." It tells me, and it goes on to say, "In the morning sow thy seed, and the evening withhold not thine hand." With the evening time of her life, when things, you tend to get a little stingy. "I've worked hard for all my money. I'm telling you, you just don't know how hard I've worked. I've worked hard." Well, I'm glad you have. But don't forget, that's all going to be gone one of these days. And don't forget that we want to be profitable. And don't let your hand get clasped around anything too tightly in this life, because it can slip away from you. And if you're going to do something for the Lord, wouldn't it be good to do it now? Before that last breath is breathed and we're gone? Oh, I want to be a blessing, and I know the Lord wants us all to be a blessing. You fathers here, I want to encourage you to write blessings to your children. Write a letter of blessing. How many dads have passed away and their children never really knew they loved them? How many? So I really think Dad liked me. I really think he did. I really think he cared for me. But oh, if you have something, a simple letter that says, "Listen, dear John, just wanted you to know how much that I loved you. I want you to know I appreciate your life and what you've meant to me. And I want to tell you, when you say that last goodbye, and if those children know somewhere, they've got a letter from Dad. He had a special little place set aside that he wanted us to read after he was gone. You know what? You won't be throwing that letter in the trash. I recently heard about a man that his dad in World War II was killed, but before he died, when he left home, in fact, his wife was expecting, and when this man got over in the war zone, he began to write a letter. And he was writing a letter to the son he never knew, to the son he never met. And he told his son how he welcomed him into the family and how much he loved him so much. And he just blessed him. And a few days after that, he was killed. The letter made it back to home. And the mom grieved so much, she put that letter in an old chest. And when she died, the boy never did read it until he was 40 years old. They was going through some of their stuff and found that letter. And the boy was 40 years old and his dad was 40 years old when he wrote it. So there was a period of time there that this letter lay dormant. But this young man picked that letter up and he read that. And the acceptance that he felt, the love. He never met his dad. All he did was had a picture of him. But oh, it meant so much to him. Don't you want to be profitable? Folks, listen, we're letting things slip through our fingers. We're letting opportunities die right around us. And I'm thinking, Lord, please let your work appear. Help us to be profitable. Help us, Lord, to not go through this life and just think in a selfish way, all of our, just me, my, and mine, and I, me, my, mine, just nothing but me. Let your work appear to your servants. And your glory to their children. Oh, it won't mean much if my children don't come following after me. I want them to see this. I want them to get a hold of it. And our desires that we have and our passion that we have, they'll pick that up somewhere down the line. We hope they will. He said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Oh, may the Lord bless us today. Bless us, Lord, to be salt and light. When you have salt in yourselves, you make the world thirsty. When you have salt in yourselves, the people see that and they want that. They'll go to water. They'll head to water. But when it's dry, and when you have no salt and there's no spice in you, and the love has leaked out, it's repulsive. It's repulsive. And people pick it up. They pick it up. We've been going in this one cell that for several, 3 months now. And these men have been very quiet, very hard. They'll flush toilets. They'll make noises, bang on the bunks. And just last week, we had a little breakthrough. I told them, I said, you all can make all the noises you want to in here. I've heard all the noises. I've heard everything just about you can, but I still love you. God loves you. And I tell you, I watched some hard-hearted men. I watched a lot of them hang their head. A lot of them prayed. But it's only by love. We've got to have that to be profitable. something I really didn't have a lot of. But Job said, he makes my heart soft. And when you have a soft heart and you love people, there's going to be a change. The only way to be profitable is to have a love for God's work and for the people that He loves. He said also, I was in jail. You didn't come by to see me. You didn't come by. How many things are we letting go through our hands, folks? Opportunities. A lot of good things that God wants to do for us all. We have to have that love. And when we do, there's going to be things appear to us. I'm sorry, I don't want to embarrass you children, but I've looked at Doug and Lenita, and I remember writing Doug a letter when they lived in Libya and talking with him a little bit. Now he's down in Honduras and his family. It's not been easy, I know. I've not been down there to visit them, but I know there's a lot of hardships, but to see the life. Folks, I see life in people sacrificing. I see it. And it's working. And I wonder, Lord, where would we be today? What in 2006, Lord, where are you wanting to take us? I think of Bob Salee. I hadn't been able to talk about Brother Bob because it's been another hard thing I hadn't been able to figure out, but I know he poured out everything. He gave his last measure of devotion for the work of the Lord. Folks, this is a Memorial Day for us. We have a lot of good examples that's gone before us, and I believe there's a lot of good examples still here. I really do. I see life in our young people. I see potential in the old people. I just look and I see things. And all we need is just a little bit of, we need a little start sometimes, a little jump, a little boost to get us going and to keep us going. And I want to encourage all of you young people. God will stay by you. I remember I quit my job and had a good home. I had a new home and two little boys and a good job. And the manager said, "What are you going to do?" And before I could even think, the scripture came out of my mind, out of my mouth. "I've been young, now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And Mr. Wheeler just kind of opened his mouth like he didn't expect that. And I thought, did I say that? And I did. But I can look back now, 20-some years later, and I can see I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I can tell you, young people, the Lord will provide for you a companion, a job. He'll give you meaning in life. He'll give you so many things if you will simply ask Him to let His work appear to you. God will use you. You've got talent. There's much talent here today. All these young little boys and girls, there's young girls and young men, you got so much potential. I want to encourage you. Give your all to the Lord. He'll use you in a mighty way. Have a heart. Have a heart to serve Him, and He'll open doors for you. I want to encourage you older ones. Truthfully, you've wasted a lot of time. I want to be honest with you. There's a lot of time wasted. There's a lot of selfishness that's captivated you. You've wasted many productive years. We're not going to get anywhere till we repent. I'm telling you that. And I don't mean to discourage you, but until we repent of our wasted years, we're not going to be fruitful in the remaining. The good thing, you have experience and you have some talents that God can use right now. He needs you to be a father. Some of you are retired. And I'm telling you, it's so wonderful to have a retired person that has time on their hands and they can help. They can do this and that. They can show up for work days. They can show up to go to the jail. They can show up for help here or there, and you have experiences. Please, we need you. The church needs you. Don't let your hands, don't feel like, oh, I can't do much, but you can do something. The latter part of your life, that's what he said in Ecclesiastes, you don't know which is going to prosper. You might think I blowed it in my youth and I could have really sown the seeds then. He says, don't you stop. Don't you stop. Don't think that everything is over and you've squandered all those years and now it's wasted and I can't do anything. That's the devil trying to tell you to just do nothing. God is saying, I want you to cast your bread on the waters. I want you to give a portion to 7 and also to 8. I want you to be in your time. I want you to be careful that you keep giving and don't stop. Don't stop. May the Lord bless us all, young and old. Encourage you today. Encourage all of us to go forward for the Lord. And let His work appear to us. And let's do something about it. Let's not come up empty-handed. Children, do you have any meat? He said, no, Lord, we don't. Cast your nets on the other side. Right there close to you was fish that you didn't know about. When he'd done that, the net. And Peter saw right then, the Lord knows how to do this. He's able to do, he knows what's going on. May the Lord bless us. Let's stand this morning and let's pray right now. Please stand. Dear Lord in heaven, Father, we come to you today. We know you gave us this little burden this morning, and we want you to bless every one of the people here today on this Memorial Day. Dear Lord, we pray for them, the young people, that they might take hold of the reins. They might take a hold of and learn the ways you want to work with them in their life. Father, I pray that you would help them today and bless them. May their life be fruitful for you. Bless the older saints, Lord, today and encourage them. Many have toiled long and many have been faithful to you. Encourage and help those. And those that haven't been fruitful for you and maybe have just come around the past few years, dear Lord in heaven, we pray that you'd encourage them today and that you'd make their life fruitful and you'd help them to see your work and reveal things to them, Lord, and help them this day. Bless this congregation and help us all, Lord, as we start in this new camp meeting season, that you would help our efforts to be profitable for you. Bless your word now as the good of all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your time.